Okay, welcome everybody to our Parsha class learning at the Young Israel of Woodmere. Really almost Erev Pesach, even though by the time we get to where we are now, we feel like it's already Erev Pesach. Le'ilui nishma Shmuel Tzvi b'meir Natan, alav ha'shalom, is nisham shev and aliyah in the merit of our Torah. So baruch she'achiyanu v'kiyimanu v'higiyanu lezman hazeh, we are opening up the book of Vayikra together. We have been kept alive and sustained and brought to this time. I feel a little bad for the book of Vayikra because it coincides with the beginning of Pesach, and it's sort of easy to forget that we're even starting a new Sefer and a new Parsha, because who could think of Parsha when all we could think of is Pesach? Someone, in fact, emailed me this morning saying, are we doing Pesach/Haggadah Insight? So I said, I'm relating Parsha, Vayikra, to Pesach. So I am trying to focus on the Parsha as well. So I'm going to start with the same introduction that I give every single year to Vayikra, and it is from Rav Shmuel Golden in his Unlocking the Torah Text. He is a Rav in New Jersey, was part of the RCA, or I believe the head of the RCA for a time, and this is the same introduction I give every single year. He has a series, Bereishit, Shmo, Vayikra, Bamidbar, and Devarim, on Parsha. This is his introduction to the book of Vayikra. Quote, I'm going to try not to interrupt him. Just wait until you get to Vayikra. I have lost count of the number of times this comment has been gleefully offered to me by observers upon their discovery that I am writing a series of volumes on the Torah. They say to me, Bereishit, Shmo, those are easy. Just wait till you get to Vayikra. The point is well taken. Consider, after all, the unique nature of this third book of Torah. In place of the gripping drama and captivating narratives of the preceding volumes of Bereishit and Shemot, I am going to interrupt him for a minute. Bereishit is full of drama, and Noach's story is unbelievable. Once we get to Avraham Avinu and the Shiftei Kah and sibling rivalry and wife rivalry and the problems and the breeding of the sheep and the enemies, it's like an unbelievable book. Shemot, which we journey through together, Baruch Hashem, is full of lessons that are practical, applicable, fascinating, heart-stopping. Just wait till you get to Vayikra. Vayikra, says Rabbi Shmuel Golden, offers chapter after chapter after chapter of detailed sacrificial law, temple rites, ritual observances, holiday regulations, seemingly obscure themes such as biblical leprosy, which is Tazria Mitzora, the Mitzora Tzaras. Granted, he writes, Vayikra also contains... How's my volume?
Good.
Vayikra also contains some of the most powerful, far-reaching interpersonal edicts in the Torah. Of course, by the time we get to Parshas Kedoshim, we have something to work with over there. That already we could relate to. Nonetheless, by the time the reader arrives at these towering edicts, that's chapter 19, he has waded through page after page of difficult text with little apparent irrelevance to our world. Can we together discover meaningful messages in passages of a book which at first glance speak largely of rituals and concepts exceedingly distant from our lives? Just wait till you get to Vayikra. It is my favorite introduction because I could not say it better than him. We have not had a temple, Rachman Letzlan, for almost 2,000 years. And yet we are opening a book that is full of karbanos. Rav Soloveitchik says, in regard to the juxtaposition of the Mishkan and Shabbos, I think we may have spoken about it last week, Rav Soloveitchik says, we have survived 2,000 years without a temple, which is the sanctuary in space. We could not have survived 1 week without Shabbos, which is the sanctuary in time. So here we are opening a book that truly is laws from an antiquated time, and we have to find relevance to us in our day. It's one thing if the men are Kohanim and they learn these things. Okay, so Mashiach may come later this afternoon, so the Kohanim need to know what to do when they work in the temple. Just wait till you get to Vayikra. Parashas Vayikra, summary, to once again quote Shmuel Golden, Rav Shmuel Golden. That was his introduction to Vayikra in general. From the sanctuary, he writes, a call to ritual. The curtain rises on Parashat Vayikra. The newly formed Jewish nation, and this is an important point to remember, is encamped at the foot of Har Sinai. They will remain at the foot of Sinai for the duration of the book of Vayikra. Okay? So Bereshit was the formation of Knesset Yisrael. Shemos was the Exodus, which we're all on with Pesach. It was Matan Torah and Binyan HaMishkan. Vayikra all takes place in the foothills of Sinai. We are not going anywhere for the entire book of Vayikra. Hashem launches a new chapter of experience. He calls to Moshe from the sanctuary. He commands him regarding Judaism's sacrificial rite. It is about Karbanos. So my hope is that towards the end of this year, we are going to relate our learning to the Karban that is the focus of Pesach. So in regard to the email I received this morning, we are learning about Karbanos. We are in the book of Vayikra. And we will hopefully relate our lessons to the Karban Pesach, which again, yes, we don't have anymore in our day, but we still can relate to it and derive lessons from it. Included in the list of Karbanos in Parshat Vayikra itself, voluntary offerings, Karban Nedava, burnt offerings, meal offerings, mincha, sin offerings, chatas, and peace offerings, shlamim. Okay. So as I said, it's a very not text-based class, much more hashkafic-based. However, if you have a chumash in front of you, anyways, we will look at the first three psukim only with one Rashi. I remember last year, we spoke about the small aleph. I don't know if anyone else remembers, but I clearly remember. I can't believe it's a year later. Unbelievable. I don't know what page it is. It's the beginning of Vayikra. Oh, that's the Ramban. Go ahead. I'm going to be calling the Ramban soon.
544.
Thank you. Page 544. Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, Perak Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Vayikra al Moshe, and he called to Moshe Aleph Ze'era. We spoke about that in depth last year. Vayidaber Hashem Elav Me'oha Moed Lemer. God called him or spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, no, one second. Here we go. Daber b'nei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel. V'amart aleim, say to them, Adam ki yakriv mikem karban l'Hashem. When a man from amongst you brings a sacrifice to God, a karban, min ha-behema, it should be from the animals, min ha-bakar, from the cattle, min ha-tzon, from the sheep, takrivu as karbancham, you should bring your karban, im ola karbano, if it is an ola, it should be from the cattle, zachar, a male, tamim, unblemished. Yakrivenu, he shall offer it to the entrance of the tent of meeting. He should bring it close as an appeasement, lirtzono lifnei Hashem. Okay? So this is all that we're going to be looking at in the text. And what I want to talk about is a Rashi to Pasuk Beis. And Rashi says, Rashi comments on the word Adam. Well, it says, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'amart aleim, Adam ki yakriv mikem karban l'Hashem. What is going on with this word Adam? Rashi says, Lama ne'emar, I'm in Pasuk Beis. Second Rashi on Pasuk Beis. Lama ne'emar, why does it use the term Adam instead of Ish? Could say Ish, ki yakriv mikem karban l'Hashem. Why Adam? Ma Adam harishon lo hakriv min hikriv min hagaza. Just like Adam harishon didn't bring any offerings that were from stolen goods, hakal hayu shalo. Adam couldn't steal from anybody because why? There was nobody else to steal from. Everything was his. Af atem lo takrivu min hagazel. You too should not bring from an offering that is stolen. So therefore it says Adam. It's an allusion to who? Adam Harishon. So we're going to talk about this Rashi, but on the very basic level of Pshat, it teaches us something very important, and that is that there's something called mitzvah haba min ha'avira. Okay? So if you want to give tzedakah, before Pesach, kimcha de pischa, they raise money for kemach for Pesach, flour for Pesach, ma'os chitim, money for wheat, you help people in the community, people that you know who have trouble making Pesach, so you steal from somebody to pay for your tzedakah before Pesach. So what kind of offering to God is that? It's a mitzvah baba avera. You understand? So you have to make sure, just like Adam never offered anything that was stolen, so too you shall not offer anything that was stolen. So again, on the very basic level of pshat, this is something that's very important. We don't steal to give to somebody else. Because if you're not allowed lo tigno, then don't steal is don't steal. Okay. What important internal message, furthermore, can we derive from here? Excuse me. One second, please. So I'm going to quote Rabbi Bams. I don't know if anybody knows Suri Lewis. She lives in Woodmere. Her father, Alav HaShalom, they put together some of his insights into a sefer after he was nifter. Rabbi Bamzer brings a beautiful lesson for us. And he says, the Magen Avraham notes, the first word of Sefer Vayikra begins with a small aleph. The small aleph is called Aleph Ze'era. Small aleph, it's Aramaic. Aleph Ze'era, small aleph. While this means small aleph, it can also mean, says the Magen Avraham, to teach the small. So what do we learn from this? Aleph means to teach the small. For centuries, Rabbi Bamzer notes, the curriculum of Jewish schools called for young students to start their Torah learning with Vayikra. By the way, it's very, very interesting. It shows us, I think, about the Yeridas Hodoros. Could you imagine, Yeridas Hodoros means as we move farther away from Sinai, we become less and less spiritual, if you will, farther away from the spirituality of Sinai and the Mesorah. Could you imagine if you wanted to get kids interested in Chumash today and you started with this? What are you talking about? So we start with the fun parts. Let's do something in Bereishis. But for centuries, we started with Vayikra. Aleph Ze'era, to teach the small. Rabbi Bamzer says, teaching the children the books of sacrifices offers and involves a psychological and perhaps subliminal, am I saying the word right? Subliminal? Subliminal means subconscious teaching. What is the subconscious teaching that is imparted in the book of Vayikra? And that is the need of the Jew to be ready for sacrifice. The subliminal message and the psychological undercurrent of the book of Vayikra is the need for the Jew to be ready for sacrifice. Adam ki yakriv mikem karban lahashem. Adam, when a man brings from yourself an offering to God. Look at the words of the pasuk alone. It doesn't say Adam ki yakriv tzon karban lahashem. Adam ki yakriv mikem karban lahashem. The offering must come from where? The offering is you. Ba'avtes Hashem elkacha b'chol evavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'odacha. Sefer Devarim, chapter 6, verse 5. Say it every day, three times a day. Kriya Shema Alamita. Rashi says, b'chol nafshecha afilu no talis nafshecha. Even if he takes your life, you are required to love God. And the Gemara tells us, when it came to the Misa, the Kiddush Hashem death of Rabbi Akiva, they were scraping his flesh with metal combs, and the Talmidim said to him, Rabbeinu Ad Kan, he was saying Shema. And they said, Rabbeinu Ad Kan, until here is your dedication to God. And he says, Ko chayah yisi mitzta'er, my entire life I was pained over the command to love God with all your soul. Achshav shebali yadi lo kayemena, now that I have the opportunity to sacrifice Adam ki yakruv mikem, Karban Lahashem. Shall I not sacrifice? Lawakayimene. And his soul went out with Echad. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. A bas kol came out and said, Ashrecha Rabbi Akiva, you are fortunate, Rabbi Akiva, that your soul went out with Echad. Rabbi Bamzer says, Adam ki yakriv mikem karban lahashem. The Aleph Ze'era teach the small that there is a psychological and subconscious need to be ready for sacrifice. And he says, quote, who can match our experiences to pay heavily for our dedication to Judaism, our people, and our holy land? Why were we oppressed in Egypt? Because we were different. They didn't like us. We were weird. They couldn't tolerate us. We're taking over their land. We pay heavily for our dedication to Judaism, our dedication to our people and our holy land. Avram Avinu, in the time of Nimrod, stepped into the burning furnace. He and his beloved son Yitzchak, and I'm quoting Rabbi Bamzer, walked together to the Akedah. Moshe returned to Egypt from the safety of Midian to put himself into the crucible of enslavement to save the Jews. The sacrifices of the Middle Ages and the Holocaust are certainly not forgotten. Jewish history teaches that sacrifice is a vital element for survival. for the survival of our people. It's an oxymoron or a contradiction to say sacrifice is vital for the survival of a person. That's not true. However, it's crucial for the survival of our people. It has never been, he says, an easy task to live up to the high ethical goals of our religion, but we have done just that. You know, it's interesting. On Tanis Esther, I remember the day, I was walking in Costco. It was Thursday. I went straight from here to Costco, straight from Costco to pick up my daughter from school at noon. They got out early. And I was walking through Costco and looking at the samples they were giving out. And I thought, you know, they give out samples in Costco. So I thought to myself, what would I do if someone came to me and said, you're Jewish, eat this pork dumpling or we'll kill you. No, I'm being serious. I really thought this. I thought, I don't know what I would do. I don't know what madriga I'm on. Because we live in a time where this, in a society, where this is not a fundamental right now in the time in which we live, that we can put into practice. I don't know what I would do if somebody said it to me. I hope I would make the right choice. I don't know. But we learn from the book of Vayikra, Adam ki yakruv mikem karban laHashem. The sacrifice is mikem, from within yourself. The animal, and soon we're going to see what the Ramban says, Nachmanides, the animal takes the place of the person. Zos kaparasi, zos chalafasi, zos trumasi. It's me who really sinned. Zeh kesef yedech letztaka. The kesef should go to tztaka, the tarnagol should go to tztaka, I will go to a good life. So I want to read you what Rabbi Salvechik says, the Rav, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, on Avram's sacrifice. We're talking about sacrifice. Everyone with me? And again, I said we're going to relate this hopefully to the Korban Pesach, the Bli Neder. So Salvechik in Abraham's journey speaks about the sacrifice of Avram Avinu. And it's interesting because it was Yitzchak being sacrificed, but it was Avram's sacrifice. Okay. One of the many events in Avram's life is of central significance in our historical drama is the Akedah, the binding of Isaac. According to the Ramban Nachmanides, according to Nachmanides, the Akedah foreshadows Jewish martyrdom down through the ages. It is the portent of many sad and tragic situations in which Jews were summoned to bring the supreme sacrifice, their very existence. It's very easy to bring a cow. I mean, I was never there in temple times, but I imagine that if you're wealthy and you could afford the cow, it's not such a tircha, okay? And, you know, we pay for things today. We pay for tuition. We pay for matzah. We pay for wine. We pay for lulav and esrog. So you pay for the cow. You lose a little bit. You bring the cow. But how can that compare to Adav Kiyakru Mikem Karban LaHashem? The portent was subject to multiple interpretations. Jews enjoyed the freedom to interpret the strange scene of the Akedah in a variety of ways. He's going to go on to say that sometimes we live Al Kiddush Hashem, not only die Al Kiddush Hashem, we must always live Al Kiddush Hashem. The basic idea of the Akedah is nurtured by the service awareness. Service, avodah, avadim ayinu l'parah b'mitzrayim, not anymore, now we are ovdei Hashem. Service awareness. What is the whole avodah called on Yom Kippur? The bringing of the sacrifices, the Kohen Gadol service, avodah. Quote, and this totally relates to Pesach, because on Pesach we were freed from avdus to paro when we became avadim to the Ribono Sha'olam. Man is a servant of God. He belongs completely to God. Body and soul. This passage, I didn't put this sticky in when I was preparing for this class. The sticky's in, even though I haven't quoted it for a while, because it's such an unbelievable passage. He belongs completely to God, body and soul. God owns human existence at every level, physical, spiritual, and social. Every movement of our muscles is related to God. Every thought that flashes through our mind belongs to Him. Every feeling, every stirring of the soul, every joyful anticipation or sad expectation is not the property of man. God is the Lord of the world and the master of man, and hence, from time to time, God calls upon man to return whatever is rightfully his. He demands that man give entirely of himself. This requires man to return divine property to the rightful owner. Quote, now he's specifically talking about the ultimate sacrifice of the Akedah. The supreme sacrifice is never too much, since God owns everything and man owns nothing. Aguf shalach v'aneshama shalach. Total sacrifice was decreed by God when he summoned Avram to offer Yitzchak on Har HaMoriah. It is sacrifice, says the Rav, is a cornerstone of Judaism. And that's Korbanos. Rabbi Bamzer says it is this subconscious message that we impart throughout the generations when we learn about Korbanos. So what do Korbanos have to do with me? A lot. Okay, then he goes on to say, I'm not going to read you the whole passage, but then he goes on to say that we can either dedicate ourselves to God with the ultimate sacrifice, which is, God forbid, lo leinu, death, or through life. But where is the sacrifice implemented, says Rav Soloveitchik? In the depths of one's heart, not on Mount Moriah. The very instant God addressed himself to Avram and said, bring the sacrifice, he gave up Yitzchak at that very moment. His most precious possession was given back to the legitimate master and owner. No arguing, no pleading. Avraham surrendered. As soon as the command was, Va'aleu sham la'ola, ola is one type of karban, and it is not an accident that the Beis HaMikdash was built on Har HaMoriah. The place of sacrifices was the place of Akedat Yitzchak. Inwardly, the sacrificial act was consummated at once. Yitzchak no longer began to Avram as soon as God gave the command. Avram at that moment experienced the horror, desolation, and despair of the childless father. He has no one to whom he can entrust his cherished treasure. Nevertheless, Avram did not argue. Satan laughed at him. Satan always laughs at the Jew. Eliezer and Yishmael had contempt for this old man who was entangled with some adventure with an invisible God. They scoffed at him. Avram asked no questions. He did not point out the contradiction between God's promise to give him offspring through Isaac and now the paradoxical command to kill Isaac and burn his flesh. He proceeded to Har HaMoriah. And when he got there, in his mind, there was already no Yitzchak, no beloved son, no heir to his spiritual fortune. In his mind, he adventured there alone, forsaken, and forgotten. Avram fulfilled the command of the Akedah before he even reached Har HaMoriah. Unbelievable passage. God owns everything. We own nothing. And therefore, says the Rav, the ultimate sacrifice is never too much, since I don't own myself. Anyway, the Rav goes so far as to say that Hashem owns us physically, spiritually, emotionally, every thought, every stirring of the soul, every sad expectation, or backwards, joyful anticipation, sad expectation, is not the property of man, but the property of the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's the Aleph Ze'era, teach the small, and that's part of the Mesorah that we hand down. You have to balance when we start to teach this to the kids. It's a little bit heavy duty. But they start to learn on their own very, very quickly. One of my boys, they're 11 now, Kenainahar, so he recently, over this past year, started to want to read Holocaust books, junior Holocaust books, so we ordered him a junior book on Irina Sandler, Raoul Wallenberg. Then he started to tell me he was having nightmares. I said, I think we need to read something else. So my mother said, you know, can he have his childhood innocence a little bit longer? I wasn't forcing him to read these books, but from being in a home and from hearing the goings on, children learn at a very young age, Adam ki yakruv mikem karban la Hashem, min hakfasim, min ha'izim, from the young sheep, zachar, it has to be a male, 1 year old, tamim, it has to be pure. Okay, then Rabbi Bamzer gives a different insight, and this is also very nice. Everyone with me, questions or comments? Oh, yes.
Where do we the whole point is that we, it says adam mikes, so that we learn that it has to be ours and we own it. But yet right. We don't see that adam gives cover.
Well, the lashon of Rashi could be medrash who brings it down. I don't know. Very, very, very possible. The lashon of Rashi is Ma Adam Arishon Lo Hikriv Mina Gazal. Hikriv alludes to karban. There's the root word. There must be midrashim that speak about it. I would have to look up at home. I have midrash Rabbah. I will believe later. Look it up at home. The source is Vayikra Rabbah 2:7. Please remind me. Okay. It must be that Adam Harishon. It must be brought down by the sages that he brought karbanos. Okay. On the level of pshat, we don't have evidence of that. In fact, on the level of the pshat, it's interesting. Adam was not able to bring himself, so to speak, to God. He did the very opposite. Is that what you were thinking?
Yeah.
He was not able to do the total sacrifice. Total sacrifice means God wills trumps my will. And when Chava presented him with the Eitz Hadas, he said, looks good, I think I'll eat it. Vatikach mipiria v'tochal, she eats it, she gives it to her husband who's with her, everybody's eating. That is the antithesis of sacrifice. That is the very opposite. And in fact, karban doesn't mean sacrifice. Karban, of course, even though we translate things out of Lashon HaKodesh, but the root word means to be close to God. Okay? Karav, to come close to the Ribono Shel Olam. And then Rabbi Bamzer sees a different insight as well. Adam ki yakruv mikem karban laHashem. The offering has to be from amongst you. So Rabbi Bamzer says, today perhaps, he's talking about now mikem. When you offer yourself from God, make sure it is from you. What does it mean from you? It means from amongst your community, from your Torah ways. Perhaps more than ever now, with the dangers of assimilation, intermarriage, hedonism, and permissive culture, we must have dynamic efforts. We must apply the ideas presented in the beginning of Vayikra. Mikem excludes that which is stolen. We have to stop stealing from the non-Jewish cultures and lifestyles. In our efforts to reflect the modern world, we have allowed inroads in every area of our life. So this is a different insight. Adam ki yakruv mikem karban laHashem. When we want to come close to God, we have to know how to do so within the framework of what the Torah wants, what the Torah allows, what the Torah permits. Yes?
I thought the allusion to Adam really implied that if he could give a karban, he couldn't have possibly stolen it. So just like Adam couldn't have stolen anything because he was the first man, so anything he could have given, whether he did or didn't, had to be from him. That's how we have to be. It can't be from anybody else.
So you're saying even if he didn't bring a karban, the question can still be answered because he would want to bring from himself.
Right.
Okay.
If he could.
Okay.
That was just my...
Okay, very nice. I still want to belinate or please WhatsApp me and tell me. I still want to look up the medrash inside, but that makes sense that he could not bring from what was stolen, and that is how we should look at it. That's very nice. That's very nice because, one second, I can't remember where in the Chumash right now. I know someone who memorized the whole Chumash. No, I'm not joking. He lives locally. You could say to him, what does it say in Vayikra, Perek Tazayim, Pasuk Gimel, and he would tell you. He memorized the whole Chumash. Okay, but I can't remember. But there are times when it's... The Pasuk says, you cannot... Could I have that for a minute, please? Okay, what I wanted to say is that this is, thank you, this is also very important, Adam ki yakruv mikem karban laHashem, that you have to make sure when you come close to God, it is from amongst you, from what is appropriate and what is proper. So I'm going to just put this out there, and I prefer not to have questions or comments on this, because you'll hear why in a minute, one second. I'm sorry, I'm trying to look up if I can find the pasuk that would prove what you're saying. Thank you for your patience. I'm just trying to... Oh! Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Perek Yod Tes, Pasuk Chaf Gimel. At least I know some prakim where things happen, even if I can't memorize the Chumash. Memorize the Chumash. I know him. My kids sometimes see him and test him. What does it say in Bamidbar, Perek Beis, Pasuk Hey? They'll tell you. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Okay. So, Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, is page 406. Okay? So you said, say again, that even though Adam... he could not have brought from what was stolen, and we should always look at our attitude should be, it's as if we cannot bring from what is stolen. So, what's the difference between us and Adam? He really couldn't bring from what was stolen, and we could bring from what is stolen. But what's your attitude be as a Torah Jew? Very nice. I'm exactly like Adam. I literally cannot bring from what is stolen. Where do we learn that from? So look at Perek Yotes, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, in the book of Shemos, page 406. Vayomer Moshe al Hashem. Moshe said to Hashem, Lo yuchal ha'am. We're talking about Mamet Har Sinai. We're right before the Aseres HaDibros. And Hashem has said, no one's allowed on the mountain. Whoever goes on the mountain, whether animal or beast, will die. Only Moshe is allowed on the mountain. Lo yuchal ha'am la'alot el Har Sinai. What does that mean? What does it mean? Lo yuchal ha'am. The people cannot go up to Har Sinai because you have testified against us, saying, separate the mountain and sanctify it. But Lo Yuchal is interesting, because could the people technically go on the mountain of Sinai? Yeah. Yes, I mean, okay, if they wanted to die, but it's as if they could not. Because once, is this what you were trying to say?
Yeah.
So because once Hashem gives a command, I should look at it as if it's impossible for me to transgress, even though it's possible. It's possible to go on the mountain. So why does the Torah say, Lo yuchal ha'am la'alos? That's not true. I can go up. I have bechira chafshis. No, but when Hashem says, don't do, you should never, it should be as if you can do. God says, Lo seileich v'chil mamecha, parshas kadoshim. When we get there, we'll have a lot of material to work with. So, l'maisa, I should never speak lashon hara, ever. Why? Even though I can, it's as if I can. So just like Adam Harishon, so it's a nice answer. It's a nice answer. Just like Adam Harishon could not bring from the stolen because there was no one to steal from, so too we should be as if lo yuchal. It's impossible to bring from what's stolen because once Hashem says, his word is absolute. Thank you. Okay. Oh, so the other point that Rabbi Bamzer brings, which is Adam ki yakriv mikem karban l'Hashem, we face now dangers of assimilation, intermarriage, hedonism, permissive culture. We must apply dynamic efforts to stop the non-Jewish culture and lifestyle from infiltrating into our society. Adam ki yakriv, when a man wants to become close, karav, Adam ki yakriv karban la'Hashem. When a man wants to be close to God, you have to bring mikem, from yourself. We have so much, or such beauty and wealth as part of Umma Yisraelis. Why do we need to go to the Ummas Ha'olam to take their ideas and apply it to our life? So the part I said I don't want any questions or comments on, please, if you don't agree, that is your opinion. I am stating what I think is probably the Torah opinion and outlook. And this really has a lot of practical application. When we think of the theme sometimes of Jewish parties, our mitzvah themes, could be certain Hanukkah themes, could be sports, kippahs, just putting it out there, okay? Yarmulke, Yirei Malka, you have to know that Kadosh Baruch Hu is always over me. If this doesn't work for you, we don't always have to agree on everything, but we do have to think and be intellectually honest. What do the New York Knicks have to do with becoming bar mitzvah? Don't answer. It's a rhetorical question. Adam ki yakriv mikem karban la'Hashem. You want to be close to God. Karban does not mean sacrifice. I hope we're going to get to the comments of Rav Shamshon Fal Hirsch, who beautifully explains what karban means. There is no word to explain. It doesn't mean a sacrifice. It means to become close. So if you want to come close to God, it has to be mikem, from you. And this is something that we have to take a strong stance against. And again, every person, again, has to be intellectually honest with themselves and do what works for them. But it's something to just keep in mind. Right? So I'm not going to say, does anyone have questions or comments? Okay. Oh, next thing that I want to point out. I'm skipping a little because I see the time. It's okay. You don't know that I'm skipping. I know that I'm skipping. Okay. Adam ki Yaakov mikem karban l'Hashem, something else. And again, I'm quoting Rabbi Bamzer, who quotes a different medrash. And now we're talking about the word Adam. We spoke about Adam HaRishon, the Ohikriv min HaGazel. We had a very nice insight. We should be not able to offer from what's stolen. Never do a mitzvah, Baba Aveira. Just like they can't go on the mountain, I cannot transgress the word of God, even though technically I can. But it should be as if I cannot. Mikem, the sacrifice is really, we saw Rabbi Bamzer and then Rabbi Salvechik, the sacrifice is really myself. The ultimate sacrifice is never too much from the time of the Akedah, since God owns everything and I know nothing. Furthermore, I'm just recapping before I go on. Mikem means from your culture, from the Torah outlook, from the proper perspective of Ratzon Hashem. Okay? And now we will talk about, we had our great introduction by Rabbi Golden. I get no credit. Rabbi Golden, Adam. So there's a medrash that explains everyone has Adam within themselves. Adam ki Yaakov mikem karban l'Hashem. Remember, so much talk about why doesn't it say Ish? Why Adam? Adam is an acronym. Aleph stands for Avraham Avinu, who we have already spoken about, specifically in regard to Karbanos. God told him, by that, Kedavahaleu Sham La'ola Al Achad Ha'ari Mashareka. The first one to bring an Ola sacrifice is Avram Avinu, the father of the Ummah Yisraelis. Everyone has an Avram, Aleph of Adam, within himself, the pioneer of Judaism, the one who spread Judaism. The first one who recognized God, and the first one is called Ivri. And this really relates to the last point that we spoke about. Avram is called Vayavo HaPali Vayeged LaAvram HaIvri. Lot's captured in battle, and the Pali, the fugitive, comes and he tells to Avram HaIvri, your nephew is captured. So Rashi says, they're very cryptic, Rashi Shaba Me'Evar Hanar. Very nice. Avram came from the other side of the river. Great. Really? Who cares? The next person who's called Ivri in the Book of Bereishis is Yosef, very nice. Ki gunav gunavti me'eretz ha'ivri. I have been stolen from the land of the Hebrews, even there I did nothing. Eishes Potiphar says when she accuses him, the first blood libel, heviu lanu ish ivri letzachek banu. He is identified as an ivri. What does it mean, ba me'ever nar? And Jews are known as ivri. What does this mean? The whole world, explains the Medrash, is on one side hashkafically, and Avraham Avinu was on the other side, hashkafically. And who was able to tap into those kochos in such a real and practical way? Yosef HaTzadik. Ba'adu yokno shal avi v'nerezo la b'chalon. What held him back from sinning with Eishes Potiphar? The image of his father appeared to him in his window. It doesn't say the image of Yaakov, by the way. I just want to point that out. And the Gemara tells us, Maseches Yevamah 62b, I believe, B'nei banim hareihem kebanim. Grandchildren are like children. So it's very interesting to me that the Gemara does not say, Ba'adu yokno shal Yaakov v'nerezo la b'chalon. It says, Ba'adu yokno shal Aviv v'nereisul abachalin, which leaves itself open to interpretation. The first Ivri, Shabbat Me'ever Nar, was Avraham Aviv. The whole world said, you're crazy. He's doing Bris Milah. We saw the passage of the Rav. Satan mocked him. Yishmael and Eliezer laughed at him. This is the God who you're sticking with? You waited 100 years, you're going to sacrifice your son, but he did Ratzon Hashem. Everyone has within himself the Aleph of Adam. We do have the ability to stay far away from society. It's a big challenge. It's a lot easier said than done. But it can be done. And isn't it true that the closer, karav, you come to Hashem, the more you want not to ascend the mountain, because God said, don't touch it, even though I can. Okay, Dalet, so that's Avraham Avinu. Dalet stands for David Melech Yisrael, says the Medrash. David Melech Yisrael, who is remembered for his spirituality, his song of praise to the Ribbono Shel Olam, the first Melech B'Yisrael, of course, first one who established the Memshala. And the Mem is Moshe Rabbeinu. Very nice, our teacher and our leader who transmitted to us Torah in our DNA. So inside each one of us, we have these kochos. It's very beautiful. Avraham Avinu represents the koch of Ivri. I am able to withstand and live a life as a Jew who recognizes God and wants to do his ratzon. David HaMelech, who composed Tehillim, really represents the power of tefillah and shira. And Tehillim plays a very large role on Pesach, both every morning, but specifically on Leil HaSeder when we recite the Hala, which is Kapitlach 113, Kof Yod Gimel through 118, which is unusual. We don't say Hala ever, except for Seder night. And Moshe Rabbeinu, so we have Avram is Hashkafically Amuna, believe in God. David HaMelech represents Koch of Tefillah, and Moshe represents Torah. You have a whole package deal. Adam, this is what you shall be if you want to come close to God. You should be an Avram Avinu. We can be an Avram Avinu. A person should never give up on themselves. I saw a beautiful line actually brought down in, it's a book of stories. I enjoy these books very much. Rabbi Pesach Kohn, it's different inspirational stories. You actually learn a lot from them. There's a lot of Torah brought down in them. There's a great line in here. I wrote it down in the back of the book, but I'm going to try and find it inside for you. It's never too late to become what you could have been. It's never too late to become. He writes, I once saw a magnificent poster. It's never too late to become what you could have been. A person should never give up on themselves, certainly not on others, but also sometimes we should never give up on ourselves. We can all reach the level of Adam, of Rav Avinu, the founder of a foundation of Amuna. David Melech Yisrael, tap into the kochos of Tefillah, Halal, Venomar, the fun of Shira Chadasha, Halleluka, we say at the Pesach Seder. And finally, Moshe Rabbeinu, who brought us the Torah, and that's the koch of Torah. So I said before, we're going to talk about the Ramban a little bit. The Ramban is a beautiful passage that relates to everything we're speaking about here. It's Vayikra, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tes, for your own reference. It's the Ramban to chapter 1, verse 9 in Vayikra. And the Ramban first quotes the Rambam, Maimonides, and gives Maimonides rationale for Karbanos. Maimonides says that it's because the Umos Ha'olam, the Mitzrim, the Kastim, the Egyptians, worshipped these animals. Therefore, they did that as the ultimate sin. We take these animals and we offer them to God. Okay, that's Al Rega Achas. You could look up the Ramban if you want. He quotes Maimonides at length. But the Umos Ha'olam bring sacrifices to these to pagan gods, we bring these to Malach Malchei Hamlakim, the one God. The Ramban does not agree at all. He says, Elohim Divrei Havai. These are words of shtus. He does not agree with them. Okay? But I want to tell you more for our learning today, for purposes of our class, what is the rationale for these karbanos according to the Ramban, Nachmanides, which really relates to so much of what we're speaking about, Ki Yakriv Mikem Karban LaHashem. Okay? Vihine Heim Divrei Havai. He does not agree with Maimonides at all. These are foolish words. Okay. It is more worthy to say the reason for Kabanos as follows. I'm going to say the Lashon HaKodesh so that you can hear it, and then I will translate it for you. All of man's deeds are completed through three actions. Machshava, I think to myself, I should speak Lashon HaRa before I speak it. You hope you think. Bedibur, and you speak, and b'maisa. I don't know, I eat not kosher. I think, God forbid, but you know I should say the same, God forbid, vis-a-vis Lashon HaRa. I think maybe I should go into McDonald's. Obviously, this is not relevant to anybody. I'm using it as an example, as an illustrative purposes. Please. B'machshava, I think. B'dibor, I go in and I order the cheeseburger. B'maisa, what do I then do? You eat it. So all of man's actions are completed according to machshava, dibor, maisa. Therefore, says the Ramban, Tziva Hashem, ki ka'asher yechta, God commanded when you sin, yavi karban, you should bring a karban. V'yismoch yadav alav keneged hamaisa, take your hands which did the deed. You took the tray, you picked up the burger, and you ate it. Maisa, put your hands on top of the karban, smicha, yismoch, lean your hands on top of the karban, like the deed. Yisvada befiv, you have to say vidui keneged, which component? Dibur, you sin with your hands, that's the maisa, put your hands on the animal. You sin with your mouth, your dibur, so what should you do? Give vidui with your mouth. V'yisrof ba'esh, and we burn in fire the innards of the animal, which represent the organs of machshava and taiva. So the Ramban is saying that this animal, which is brought, represents whose sin? My sin. And how does it represent my sin? I sin with machshava, burn his innards, which represent machshava and taiva, his thoughts and desires. I sin with my hands, put my hands on top of the carbon with maisa, and I sin with dibur. So I have to say vidui. It's not enough to just bring the carbon. I have to really say that I regret what I did. The hakirayim keneged yadav v'raglav. We burn the legs of the burnt offering, which is equal to my hands and feet, because they do all man's work. If I couldn't even walk into the McDonald's, I wouldn't have ordered the cheeseburger in the first place. So my feet got me there. And we sprinkle the blood keneged damo benafsho. The sprinkling of the blood represents whose blood? My blood. So Adam ki yakriv mikem karban Hashem. If I think that I just bring a cow and then I'm absolved, I missed the point. The point is, says the Ramban, I'm sacrificing all my parts. My machshava, my taiva, my hands, my dibur, my innards, my legs, my blood. Why? Kedesha yachshov Adam. So you should think, ba'asosos kol eila, when you're in the process of doing all these things. Ki chata le'elokav. Begufo benafsho. This relates to what the Rav spoke about. If God owns my body and my soul, and I transgress, and I go up the mountain, even though God said, you should not go up the mountain, then I have sinned, chata la'elokav begufo ubenafsho. I have sinned to the Almighty with my body and my soul. And the Ramban says, you have to have this kavana. You have to think this. V'ra'ui lo sheyishtapich damo. It is worthy that my blood should be spilled. The Yisarif Gufo, it's worthy that it's my body that should be burnt. Why, therefore, am I not being slaughtered? Lulei Chesed Hashem. Because of the Chesed of God, the kindness, the forgiveness, the mercy of the Almighty. Shelakach mimenu truma v'kofer. He takes from me a portion and a substitute. HaKarban Hazeh. Sheyehei Damo Tachas Damo. It's his blood instead of my blood. Nefesh tachas nefesh, he's paraphrasing Parshas Shpatim. It's his soul instead of my soul. And you give the parts to the Kohen, sheyispalalu alav, so that the Kohen should daven for you. Be'ela hadvarim miskabli moshchim halev. These words are accepted and they pull the heart. So he does not agree with the Rambam, who says it's because the Umos Olam bring karbanos to their pagan gods, so we rectify this and bring karbanos to our gods. The Ramban says, absolutely not. What does our Avodas Hashem have to do with the Gentiles' Avodas Hashem? And isn't that what we just said? We should not associate with their mode of worship at all in any way. We have to draw away from them. So the Ramban says, total shtus. The Ramban says, I'm going to tell you the outlook for karbanos. The proper approach to karbanos is machshava, I sinned with machshava and taiva, thought and desire. I sinned with maisa, the deed. I sinned with dibur. I sinned with my blood, dama benafsho. And therefore, I bring a karban. I must have vidui, I must have smicha, and I must have kavana. Beautiful piece of the Ramban. Okay, so what I'm going to do now, even though I told you I want to talk about Shem Shem Fal Hirsh, let's try and talk about Shem Shem Fal Hirsh. Rav Shem Sharfal Hirsch says in his comments on verse 2, Sefer Vayikra, Perak Aleph, Pasuk Beis, we have no word in the Western language that adequately conveys the concept of korban, which I think and I hope we're trying very much to bring out today. And this is a beautiful introduction, I hope, for you. For me, it's very helpful. It's a beautiful introduction to the book of Vayikra, because it helps us understand the framework, the outlook, the hashkafa that we should have when we're learning about these karbanos that seem to have nothing to do with me, but we're actually learning they have everything to do with me. So Rav Shem Sharfal Hirsch says, there is no word in the Western language to adequately convey the concept of karbanos. The concept of sacrifice means, and this is true, sacrifice has the connotation of destruction, annihilation, and loss. When you say someone gives a sacrifice, I sacrifice on myself, it means I lose something of myself for somebody else. It's a loss. This is a connotation that is foreign and antithetical to the concept of karban. Karban does not mean destruction. It does not mean annihilation. It does not mean to lose something. The concept of karban is not a gift or a present to God. Because when you give someone a gift or a present, it implies, says Rav Hirsch, that the other part, beautiful. You're on fire today. The concept of karban, I'm not making fun of you, I'm complimenting you. The concept of karban implies, says Rav Hirsch, if you translate it as sacrifice, why is it wrong? because it involves loss or destruction or annihilation. That's not correct. If you translate it as gift or present, it implies that God needs something. God doesn't need anything from me. Therefore, none of these words in Western language adequately convey the meaning and intent of karban. Karban is, quote, solely found in the context of our relationship with God. It can only be understood according to the root word, karav. So in other words, you can't translate this word. So you need a whole shiur to understand the different concepts behind what a karban means. Because translating the word karban into English is totally, not only do you lose the intent, it's inaccurate. Now, we need to put something in the article, so we write sacrifice, but we have to understand it's not correct. Karav is to draw close, to arrive at a close relationship with someone. So hakrava, to be makriv your karban, is a positive attainment. It's the antithesis of sacrifice. Sacrifice is loss. Hakrava is a positive attainment. The opposite should not be ascribed to karbanos. And he says something beautiful. Karban meets not the needs of the Almighty, but a karban meets the needs of the makriv, the needs of myself, not the needs of the one to whom the karban is brought. It meets my needs, because what do I want? To come close to God. The will of the makriv is something of mine, should come closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is the very essence of karban. It is to seek God's nearness. Not sacrifice, not annihilation, not loss, not gift, not present. It's for me to come close to God. Closest to God, listen to his beautiful next words of Rav Shem Shofar Hirsch. Closeness to God is the sole criterion for shaping one's outlook in life and evaluating true happiness. Closeness to God is the sole criterion for shaping my life's outlook and evaluating true happiness. Spiritual and material happiness will flourish only through closeness to God, and that's man's ultimate calling. There, with closeness to God, life's riddles are solved. One's happiness is determined by the measure of karban, and distance from God, the opposite of karav, brings ruin. Every soul is refined in God's sanctuary. We understand what is truly good for man. You just said, wow. You know what the next word in my notes is? What's the next word in my notes? Wow.
Yeah. Is this
Hirsch
introduction? Rav
Shem Shofar Hirsch, Vayikra 1, 2, Perak Aleph, Pasuk Bez. Okay, now I told you, and we're going to get there, that I want to end with the Korban Pesach. So if you could please turn to Sefer Shemos, Parak Yud Bey, Korban Pesach, get it? It's Erev Pesach, Korban, Karav, we have spent 50-something minutes talking about 48 minutes talking about, no, what am I saying? I'm not so good at math. You know that? 52 minutes talking about Adam Ki Yakriv Mikem Karban LaHashem. And now I want to talk about the foundation of Leil HaSeder, which is the Karban Pesach. Perek Yud Beis Pasuk Gimel. Shemos chapter 12, verse 3. Hey. Chapter 12, verse 3. The first national mitzvah, if you look at the pasuk right before this, is HaChodesh Hazal. Could someone tell me the page, please? Does someone know the page? Shemos 12, 3. Oh. 350, page 350, please. The very first national mitzvah is Kiddush HaChodesh. That comes right before Korban Pesach. Why? Because if you don't own time, you can't do anything else. A slave cannot serve God, because even if he wants to go to shul to your shofar, and even if he wants to eat matzah on Leil HaSeder, and even if the woman wants to go to the mikveh in the proper time, no, she cannot, because she doesn't own her time. So first God said, HaChodesh Hazalachem Rosh Chodashim, Rishonu Lacham Lachad Sheyashana. That's the first mitzvah. After the first national mitzvah, we have the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. And of course, the parashas of Shmos Ve'erabo B'Shalach relate so strongly to my nephew's at the door. I don't know why. He's such a cutie, but he's not coming in. I saw him peek in for a second. Meira, you could come in with him. Meira, he could come in. Yoshua, come, sweetie. Yoshua, come. relates so strongly to Shmos Verabal B'Shach, relates so strongly to Karba, to Yitziyah Mitzrayim, Shibun Mitzrayim, and specifically Parshas Bo. Let's look at the Lashon of Karban Pesach. Dabru al kol Adas Yisrael, Lamer speaks to the entire congregation of Israel, saying, B'chodesh, Ba'asar L'chodesh Hazeh, on the 10th of that month, it was a law for that. Don't ask me any halachos of Karban Pesach, okay? Just like I don't know the halachos of Asham and Chatas, I also can't tell you the halachos of Karban Pesach. I tell you it has to be Tzli Eish, Matzo Marvim Mechluhu, it can't be undercooked, it can't be boiled. That much I know. You can't leave any over to the morning. Okay. V'yuchulam ish selabes avos selabai. So you need to take a lamb for each father's house. A lamb for the house. Next pasuk. V'im yimad habayus mios misa. And there's not enough people to eat the lamb. So I have four people in my house, but you can't leave any over till the morning. Four people can't eat a whole roasted lamb. So what are you supposed to do? V'lakachu ushcheno. I just noticed something tremendous. What's the next word? Hakarov. Albezo. You go to the neighbor who's close to your house. B'michsas nefashos. Take accounting of the souls. So what does that mean? I have four people. The neighbor has a big family. He has 10 people. Oh, I think 14 people could eat a lamb. Ish lefi acho tachosu al haseh. However much a person could eat, he should be counted for the lamb. Good, that's the basic beginning to Karban Pesach. Of course, the Gemara and Chazal derive mountains of halachos from these psukim, but from the level of the pshat, this is actually a beautiful conclusion. We began with Rav Shmuel Golden, and we're going to end with Rav Shmuel Golden. And he says something so beautiful. This is from Anakim, the Torah text, Shema Parshas Bo. The Karban Pesach develops in three stages, which mirror the three fundamental foundations of Jewish society. Within these two psukim, we learn the three fundamentals of Jewish society. We're about to form a society. We're about to form a nation. The first fundamental is Ish Salabais Avos Salabais. What is this? The first and foremost pillar of Jewish society is Beis Avos, the family. The family unit. At the very inception of our nationhood, God delivers an eternal message. As you prepare for your historic journey, mark the evening with the family unit, because this is most critical to your success as a people. Your survival will always depend upon the health of Salabais Avos Salabais. The continuity of Knesset Yisrael depends on the home. If your family is strong, if it fulfills the educational role, your people and nation will be strong. However, that is not enough. I remember I was once doing a certain tzedakah walk. I mean, this goes back a long time. I was in Brooklyn. And so I had to raise money. So we asked someone who my husband works with if they were interested in giving a donation, a charitable donation. You get a tax deductible receipt. And I know that this, I'm not judging anybody, they could put their money wherever you want, I'm saying it for illustrative purposes as we move to the next point. And the charitable contribution was $20. Now I happen to know that this person has more than $20. If somebody only has $20 to give, so that's fine. And maybe they're not interested in this tzedakah organization, charity, that's fine. But to Knesset Yisrael, if somebody has the ability and the means, way beyond that, there's no such thing as I will only give $20. Why? Because the next foundation of society, you understand, if somebody is able to give. Right? Please, don't take that out of context. In fact, the halacha is, and Rav Salvechik quotes this, that if a person refuses to give tzedakah, the Beis Din can go into his home on Erev Shabbos and confiscate his property. The next foundation is who only lives for themselves and their family. And that's seen in the next pasuk. What do you do next? V'lachachu ushcheino hakarov albeso. Your family is very nice. Your family is very important. Your family might be the foundation. But now we move beyond the family unit to the foundation of this represents community. The family unit, as important as it may be, cannot possibly operate or survive in a vacuum. Each household must reach beyond its walls, quote, either to ask for or to offer assistance and support. Therefore, we turn outward and we form the community. These were enslaved people. We have no idea how to form a foundation, a society, a community. I don't know what to do. I was a slave. My father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather were all slaves. So God says, I'm going to tell you exactly what to do, and it's illustrated in the Korban Pesach. The first thing you have to do is build a family home. Salabayis, salabais avos. But if you think you only need a family home, how sorely mistaken you are, you will fail as a people. You must go to Hashachin HaKarov al Beis. So not only do we want to be Karov, Karban, close to God, but we want to be close to the other Jew as well. Knock on the door of your neighbor. Salvechik says, the freed slave does something he never imagined was possible. He suddenly realizes he is too much. He wants to give to somebody else. When we were slaves, it was impossible. When we were a free people, you can knock on the door, says the Rav, and say, look at this, I can give to you. Even as we strive to exist and achieve within the family unit, we must never underestimate the role of community. And finally, says Rabbi Shmuel Golden, the final foundation is Ish Lefi Achlo Tachosu Al Haseh. What does this represent? How much you can eat? That's how you are counted. The Torah reminds us no individual can escape personal responsibility and obligation. Don't say, I don't count. Someone else will eat the Korban Pesach. Someone else will give the charity. Somebody else will run Hatzalah. Somebody else will, I don't know, take care of Achiezer. Someone else will take care of the poor neighbor. Every person has personal responsibility. These are obligations, says Rav Golden. We cannot escape. Ish lefi achlo tachosu al haseh. How much can you do? How much can you contribute? You are required to be counted. Strong families. He says something interesting. Strong families and strong communities can sometimes serve as a refuge for those who wish to escape the burden of personal responsibility. Community so strong, somebody else will do it. I don't need to give to Tom Chay Shabbos. There's so many people. Give it. What do they need me for? After all, he says, if there are others to do the job, why should I be involved? However, the Torah tells us each and every person has their own unique role to fulfill in the nation's history. Our national aspirations will only be fulfilled if we build salabais avos salabais. However, that's not enough. V'lakachu ushcheinu hakarav al beso. And even that's not enough. You build a strong family, you build a strong community, but you have to know ish lefi achlo tachosu al haseh. How much can you do? You are obligated to make sure that you count. So Adam ki yakruv mikem karban la'ashem. We should be zocheh. That this Pesach, we should be zocha to actually be makriv, the Korban Pesach, in a rebuilt and redeemed Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh, which should be speedily in your days. There is no class next week. Be'ezrat Hashem, we meet the last week of April. I have to leave for an appointment. You are free to email me questions or comments. I wish you all a chag kasher v'sameach. Amen v'amen. Thank you, ladies.
Beautiful, Micha.